If you're a wife or mother, have you ever felt like you're just not cutting it and feel like you're not doing enough? On today's episode, Liz and I tackle this topic with family life expert and coach Natasha Danzy. She offers concrete tips and real life examples of everyday interactions that often lead to mothers thinking they aren't enough. Natasha Danzy is a certified family life educator. She has taught relationship education classes through Utah State University for the past 11 years, working with a variety of audiences from high school students and retreats for women to inmates in the maximum security unit and everything in between. She loves traveling, learning, and snuggling. Natasha and her husband Jeff are raising their five children, ages 7 to 19, alongside a variety of farm animals in central Utah. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State University alongside Dr. Liz Hale, our licensed clinical psychologist. We are bringing you the best tips and tools along with research to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Today, Liz, super excited about our guest today. We're going to tackle the topic of motherhood and marriage and the perceived inadequacies so many mothers are feeling. Now, I've known her for more than 7 years here at Utah State University. She's one of our educators. She's an amazing educator, a speaker, a wife, a mother, and a great friend. Natasha Danzy, welcome to the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast, my friend.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here with both of you.
We are too.
Oh, so looking forward to our discussion today. Natasha, we're going to jump right in with this. Okay, huge, important topic that we've not really tackled yet here on the podcast. Can we start by discussing this myth that mothers dwell on, many mothers dwell on, and that is the you're not enough and you're failing as a wife and a mother. Now, first, where does that come from? And why do so many mothers feel this looming over their heads when they wake up in the morning, when they try to go to sleep at night, they can't shut this off. It seems to be always there for these moms. I'm not enough and I'm always failing and I can never get caught up.
Yeah, Dave, you know, I love that you called it a myth because that's exactly what it is. And these intrusive feelings of inadequacy are extremely common, more so than I think, as you mentioned, gets a lot of attention. In fact, a few months ago, I was conducting a workshop for moms, and I invited each mom, I gave everyone a note card, invited each mom to write down like the one thing that was really heavy that they, you know, were coming in with, something that was weighing on their hearts or weighing on their minds. And there were a few specific responses, you know, things like potty training a toddler or, you know, a teenager sneaking out at night. But as I went through these note cards, right, these just note cards that everyone had given, and I began kind of unfolding them and reading through the responses, I'm going to share with you just a couple of the responses that I received from these moms. I'm not enough and I'm not giving enough energy. What weighs on me most is usually the question, am I a good enough mom? Am I doing enough? And this time of life, I'm terrified of not being the mom they need me to be. Not being good enough for my children. Feeling like a failure. Being enough to fill my children's needs. Am I doing enough to help them become the best they can be? And these go on and on, 50 plus note cards in this same category. You know, it was like a siren, like, whoa, you know, what of all the things these moms are carrying is just these overwhelming feelings of inadequacy. You know, am I good enough? It became very clear that these feelings are just pervasive among mothers.
I mean, that's overwhelmingly, I mean, you don't even have to be a researcher to hear that word enough over and over them feeling this feeling of inadequacy. Liz, I'm curious, not a practitioner. Do you see this show up in as a therapist, as a psychologist? Do you see this in your practice?
Well, especially in May around Mother's Day, right? It seems like we hear a lot more about it, and just the shame and the disappointment that women feel like, oh, I'm not worthy of being acknowledged. And I don't care for Mother's Day for the opposite reason, right? Because I'm not a mother So even that lends itself to thinking, oh, I don't deserve that. No, I don't deserve that flower, that chocolate. I'm not a mom. But I can still relate, Natasha, to what you were saying about I could replace the word mother for like clients. I feel like I'm letting my clients down, or I feel like I'm not giving enough to my marriage or to my nieces and nephews. With a lot of people, a lot of kiddos in need, I feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough for them. So I do think it's pervasive, maybe around just women in general. I don't know if men have that same type of concern of not being enough. I don't know, Dave, you might be better to answer that. But I don't know. Did you have a thought first, Dave? Or do you think that is more?
No, I was just going to say, I'm just the N of one, right? It's just me, but I don't think I feel that. Right? And I don't even think that, wow. So this is shocking to me. I'm looking forward to our discussion, Natasha, because I think there's some implications for men and husbands to be aware of this, because I'm worried about who's going to win the game and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Typically now I'm going a little too far with that. There are our own stresses, but this is not number one, I would say, on my list. And I wouldn't have guessed that this is maybe number one on many women's lists.
Wow. Maybe we can learn a little bit from each other's lists, right? We can borrow and take a little bit. Natasha, I'd love to know what your message is, however, to wives and mothers who feel that suffocating thought of I'm not getting it all done, or I snapped at my five-year-old, I'm failing as a mom, I'm too tired and stressed for my husband. What do you say to women who feel this way, please?
You know, Liz, thankfully, there are several helpful things women can do when we have these kinds of feelings. And one of the first things is to simply recognize when these feelings show up and then take action before these feelings start to take over. I would say pay particular attention to your self-talk. So if phrases like, I'm not a good wife, start showing up, pause and ask, like, where is this message coming from? Let's walk through a simple example. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. You bet.
All right. So let's say I walk in the door from the carpool to soccer practice and find that my husband ate cold cereal for dinner. Maybe my first thought is, I'm not a good wife because I didn't prepare dinner. Now, as soon as I notice that message of inadequacy, that self-talk, that's step one, right? To notice, then I pause and ask myself, like, where is this message coming from? And that's step two, right? Notice and then ask myself, where is this message even coming from? Why do I feel like preparing dinner is an important part of being a good wife? Is that something my husband actually expects, right? Is that expectation coming from him? Or is that something my own mother did? Or is that what I perceive like the good moms on social media are doing? Like that's what it means to be a good mom. And then once I identify that source of my perception, then I can address it. And that's step three, like address the source of that self-talk. And if this is an expectation from my husband, then I can initiate a healthy, open, and honest conversation about the expectation of a prepared meal. If it's an expectation coming from a different source, I can decide what I want to do with it. Maybe I decide that just because preparing dinner was important to my mom, it's not actually that important to me and my family, and I can let go of that expectation. Or maybe I decide that preparing dinner is actually something I value. So I realistically evaluate my life and see that four nights a week, I can make dinner. Another night might be takeout, one night baby leftovers, and one night might actually be cold cereal.
Yes.
Right. And then the last step there, right, is to reframe my self-talk at the end of that. Initially, I said, I'm not a good wife because I didn't prepare dinner. But now I can reframe that message and say, I'm a good wife regardless of whether I prepare dinner or not.
I think that is such a great one. Oh my goodness. There's something about food and the kitchen and that feeling, that responsibility, right? I've used to really struggle with that. I felt like it was all on my shoulders. Now, when we do have cold cereal, and we both did have cold cereal for dinner last night, so funny. I was just so grateful there was milk. I just felt like that was such a win, Natasha and Dave, that we actually had milk in the house. So that's really a great analogy. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Natasha, let me ask you a question on that, because it seems like that after that has happened, then the women often get, they almost live in the past. They sit there and just rehearse it and relive it and beat themselves up. They're going to bed maybe that night and they're thinking about the past, you know, all this stuff, that the ways that I failed. And so I love that, being able to like, okay, pause, catch it, check it, change it, right? That type of a mentality. But the first step is to notice, to be aware, and then be like, oh, okay, there it is again, instead of just, you know, taking off and letting it go crazy. So I think some of this, let me ask you about this concept. I've heard it called worry work, or this kind of this mental load. I think some of this stems from what these experts are talking about with this mental load in family life. Now, worry work isn't the physical task, actually, but it's remembering and overseeing all of those tasks. It's being in charge of the never-ending to-do list in your head. It's the carpools, it's the doctor's appointment, now running them to practice or piano practice and field trips, all the class party, all the science fairs this Friday, right? It's trying to keep track in your head about the kids, the family schedule. And I just want to point out, the research is pretty clear on this. It shows that nearly 9 in 10 mothers say they feel solely responsible for organizing the family schedule. So the brunt of the mental load fall on women and mothers. So Natasha, I'm interested, what's your take on this? Is that worry work part of what you're talking about?
Dave, I love that you brought this up, because one of the note cards that I had pulled in preparation for today, as I was reviewing, you know, these note cards from the workshop, one of the moms had written, my brain feels like it has 1200 tabs open and it's just exhausting. And then she wrote, hashtag just keep swimming. Mental load, right? That is just exhausting. There's no doubt that the mental load of mothering contributes, right, to these feelings of inadequacy that we're observing. And as you know, there are several experts that have weighed in on this topic. Dr. Morgan Cutlip of Love Thinks, as well as Eve Rodsky, the author of Fair Play. They both have so much to offer in this area. And you know, one thing couples can do is to inventory areas of responsibility and then reassign tasks as needed. It's not just, as you mentioned, it's not just the performing of the task that needs to be examined. It's the responsibility of it, right? It's carrying it, the management of that task. So like, one mom was feeling like a failure because her son wasn't mastering his multiplication facts. And between her other children and her job and managing the household, she couldn't seem to figure out how to practice consistently with him. She mentioned this in a respectful conversation with her husband and asked if he could just take over the task of practicing multiplication facts with this child, just make sure it happened on a daily basis. And the cool thing is that within a matter of weeks, this third grader had his times tables memorized and no one was feeling like a failure anymore. Another benefit of these healthy conversations surrounding mental load is just the overall awareness that comes. And it really draws couples closer together. When my husband and I conducted this inventory, I realized that his mental load includes many of the like traditional male roles that I hadn't even considered. While I'm tracking grocery lists, while child checks, parent-teacher conferences, right, all of those tabs open in my brain, I learned that he's tracking, you know, auto maintenance and winterizing the sprinkling system and the furnace filters and things I literally never even think about, because he's managing those. And having that open, honest conversation really increases that awareness and appreciation of one another.
Oh, that's great. That inventory is really magical. I'm thinking of a couple of couples, Dave and Natasha, that have actually, where the husband is now doing the load of the cooking. I think she does more of the grocery shopping, this one particular couple, but man, that has made such a difference in their home. And how she feels, and he feels like he's really contributing. He kind of enjoys the cooking. And food is such an integral part of family life, isn't it? I mean, you know, I don't mind cold cereal now and then, but cooking, I mean, just when somebody cooks for me, there's just no other way that I feel more loved or taken care of. It's crucial.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in. I'm thinking about, I love this. I think, Natasha, you brought up the importance of having the conversation, to talking about it, because honestly, speaking for myself, a lot of this wasn't on my radar. It wasn't until maybe my wife brought it up. Yeah, because I'm not thinking about it. So she brings it up and then we can have that conversation. And for us, it was our son's football, you know, okay, you oversee all his practices, fees, we're traveling, you do the hotel, you do all it. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. So sometimes it's a matter of, let's bring this up, let's talk about this and then problem solve instead of letting it stew in our heads over and over, which, and then I'm like, hey, you know, what's wrong? And she's like, what's wrong? Right. I'm not all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. So being open and not keeping it all trapped in, but that takes some vulnerability and saying, hey, there's a lot going on. It would be so helpful, right? For you.
You know what else I think it takes, Dave and Natasha, is I think it takes me, I'll speak for myself as a woman, relinquishing control. You know, I think I like how I do things. I know that I can depend on them. And that's probably what I've learned most in marriage these past 10 years for myself, is that it doesn't have to be my way. And if I really want to have some help, right, and feel like I'm part of a team, I've got to let go of the control. That's been a great message for me anyway. So women and wives being frustrated with themselves, feeling inadequate. And I'm guessing this spills over into the marriage, because this mentality really wears mothers down, leading to frustration, burnout, stress, anxiety, depression, and even resentment. No wonder women and wives are feeling frustrated with themselves and feeling so inadequate. So Natasha, how do they respond to this?
You know, you are right, Liz. I'm sure you see this with some of your clients, this spillover effect that sometimes results in the inertia, right, sending us into this negative vortex. I've heard you, Dr. Dave, say that negativity is like Velcro, like it sticks. And it's true. It's almost like there's this magnetic pull downward when your thoughts start trending in this direction. You know, let's say a woman has a rough morning with her kids. And so then she just starts down this, you know, you call it replaying the past, Dave, this negative vortex of thinking all the ways she's failing as a mother. And then without even intending to, it's like this spillover into how she's failing as a wife and all the ways that she's not good enough. And then very easily, these thoughts continue to spill over. You know, if I'm not a good enough mother, then I'm not enough good wife. And I'm not a good enough employee and, you know, a good enough neighbor, right? All of these things start like pulling you downward. This negative vortex can just suck you in, right? And it feels so dark and so hopeless. The good news is that there's also a phenomenon that Dr. Alex Korb, right, calls the upward spiral. And there are specific actions we can take to experience the same kind of magnetic pull upward. One of the actions that I've personally seen the power of in my own life is the intentional practice of gratitude. So when I feel my stuff, right, start to slipping into this negative vortex and starts to get dark, and I just have to pause. And when I start practicing gratitude, it's like I can reverse the effects of that. Gary B. Sabin recently said, you will never be happier than you are grateful, right? By regularly and intentionally practicing gratitude, we literally have the power to rewire our brains, which is really incredible if you think about it, right? That ability to rewire. The effect of this rewiring is the ability to reverse the direction of that spiral. When I make a mistake as a mother, which I frequently do, rather than getting sucked into this dark negative vortex, I can just say, that was a really rough morning, right? I dropped my kids off. Oh, that was such a rough morning. And I made some mistakes. This doesn't mean I'm a bad mom. This means I'm human. I'm really grateful, right? Practicing that gratitude. I'm really grateful that I will have the opportunity to apologize to my children for my part, and that I have the chance to try again. And the inertia of that thought pattern sets me on an upward spiral instead of spiraling spillover effect, right? Is what you said, Liz, that it doesn't keep, you know, permeating in other parts of my life. That upward spiral, I begin to think of the benefits that come to both me and my children when I do things like apologize for my mistakes. I began to think about how I have the ability to respond rather than to react next time things don't go my way. When I face a parenting challenge, I feel capable of doing better next time.
Yeah, that message is so needed, as you mentioned, Natasha, but it takes this intentionality, right? First to catch it ourselves going down that, and it happens so fast, right? This thought of I failed. Oh, I'm a failure. It'll always be a failure, right? This slick path in our brains to be able to rewire that, though, honestly, it takes just a thought to stop that, a gratitude. You know what? I made some mistakes, but I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get better. It doesn't mean I'm a failure of a mom. I love that. So I'm curious, what's the message to husbands? What's the message to dads on this topic? From your perspective, Natasha, what is helpful and maybe not so helpful from the husbands, you know, when wives are feeling like this? What can we do more of or less of to be supportive?
That is such a great question, Dave. In preparation for recording today, I was talking with my husband, right, about these feelings. And one thing that he and I have found is that when one of us is feeling underappreciated, it is almost a guarantee that the other partner is feeling that same way. To work as hard as we do as parents and partners and feel like all of that effort goes unnoticed feels like defeating. And really, it just sucks the motivation out of you, right? You don't want to keep trying harder if it just feels like everything goes unnoticed. So one simple thing that husbands can do is just to express sincere appreciation. Just notice, right? Notice the little things. So much of the work of a parent is thankless. And it goes a really long way when dads can be that voice of thanks. This isn't always easy, especially when things seem a little chaotic and it's hard to see, right, what that effort is. But make an effort to notice something positive and then just express that sincere appreciation for it. It goes a long way. And then,
yeah, and it doesn't cost anything, right? It doesn't cost anything to slow down, to notice. I love those kind of magical words. We often use them in parenting, right, Natasha, of I noticed and I appreciate. But man, those are so critical in the marriage relationship as well. That gratitude, those little random acts of kindness. I noticed that. Hey, I appreciate that. Hey, I noticed you're really struggling this morning. What can I do? You know, and then I think even another one just to add on, this just popped into my head, is just to not only notice what she's doing, but notice what's going on around that. If there's dishes out, just go do it. You know, don't have to wait to be told. Sometimes I think women get frustrated, like, do I have to tell you everything to do? Just look around, dang it. Yeah, just find something to help with. And so it's like this observe and then serve without being told, right?
It's another good one, Dave. I love that. Observe and serve. That's brilliant, my friend. You know, it's really what I noticed about gratitude too, guys. It's hard to be grateful and resentful. It's just it's magic. It's a two-way street, that gratitude. My husband feels better and I feel better towards him and I like myself better. You created, Natasha, Arise Workshops, which I think are so fascinating, where you offer family life coaching, speaking, relationship workshops. Please tell us more about that. Arise Workshops, great title.
You bet. So after being a family life educator for over a decade, I just wanted to do more to help families. On one side, education is such a critical piece of doing and becoming better. And kind of on the other side, therapy is such a necessary and powerful tool to uncover and heal from our past. And family life coaching really fills the gap between those two spaces. So in addition to family life coaching, Arise offers custom workshops to help organizations achieve their goals by implementing research-based practices and utilizing a strengths-based approach. And, you know, Arise really approaches the word workshop with a literal interpretation. You know, Arise workshops are designed to make, to create, to transform, and to produce. It requires some effort, but just like a physical workshop with power tools and machinery, when you come to an Arise workshop, you can plan to leave with something useful.
Good for you. Makes us all want to sign up. Where can listeners find out more about you specifically, Natasha, and your social media? Where can we find you, please?
Yeah, Arise is active on Instagram at Arise Workshops. And then, of course, by email at ariseworkshops@gmail.com.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Well, we'll put those links in our show notes so you can go check those out. And I'm telling you, go check those out because Natasha is one of a kind. They're doing amazing things with these workshops and you do the work. Yeah, that you, it is work and you will put in the time, but it is worth the effort. Like anything that requires work, it's worth the effort. So go check those out. Natasha, before we let you go, we like to ask a couple questions. One of those is, what do you think the key is to a stronger marriage connection?
Oh, Dave, I want to tell you a quick story. Can I do that?
Please.
So next week, my husband and I will celebrate our 22nd wedding anniversary.
Woohoo!
Wow. Clear back when we were celebrating 10 years, through the graciousness of a family member, we were able to celebrate on Kauai. So we're in Kauai celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary. And we go on a, you know, this kayaking, hiking, ziplining tour, right? This cool. And so we're kayaking through paradise and we get talking with some of the other couples on the tour. And we realize we're one of the only married couples on this tour. There's lots of couples, but we're one of the only ones that are married. And so they start asking us about marriage, like what it's right to like take the plunge, you know, put on the ball and chain then they find out that we've been married for 10 years. And that's why we're there. And they're like, 10 years? You know, one of the guys says to me, when you've been with the same girl for 10 years on purpose? Yeah. and one of the guys said to my husband, like, you know, so what does it take? What does it take to be married for 10 years? And so I'm there in paradise with my husband. And I'm waiting for this romantic response that he's going to give. Like, what is it that, you know, how wonderful I am or how easy it is to be married to me or something. And without even thinking about it, my husband's response was work. That's what it takes to be married for 10 years is work. And, you know, there's a lot of key factors, but for me, the key to a stronger marriage connection, the bottom line is work. You have to work at compassion. You have to work at forgiveness. You have to work at intimacy. You have to work at, you know, noticing the small things and practicing gratitude and extending forgiveness. And you have to work to make your marriage connection stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. No shortcuts. Yeah. This is, yeah, good days and hard days and rough days. Yeah, that's for sure. But that's kind of really what makes it, is going through that. Refiner's fire, and you come out better, hopefully, through that process. Natasha, second question we like to ask is a takeaway of the day. Talked about all kinds of things, motherhood and marriage and being a wife. What's your take-home message for our listeners today?
I think my takeaway today is gratitude. Intentionally practicing gratitude is transformational. And when these feelings of overwhelm and these feelings of failure and this question of, you know, am I good enough? I love what you said, Liz, right? I can't be grateful and resentful at the same time. And so if I choose gratitude and I'm intentional about that, then it really does transform the way that I feel.
Yeah. Love that. Thank you. Perfect. Liz, what's your takeaway of the day?
You know, I love the inventory idea. I'm really considering, I love what you said, Dave, that it's like, I am just not even thinking about the same list as my wife is thinking, right? I'm thinking about who's going to win the game or what time does it start? And other things too, like Natasha, you said your husband has got this other list, right? Of different things you hadn't even thought about. So I think just the space to say, oh yeah, okay, you've got a different mind than I do. And the respect for that mind and the pressure of the other. I thought that was great. And to talk about those inventories to help, you know, to see where can I help you and where do I really need to get some help too? And how can I relinquish that control so that you can help me? Dave, what about you? What's the greatest takeaway from our interview today with Natasha Danzy?
Yeah, you know, the first one, I have a couple of thoughts. The first one is really thinking through as a husband, as a father, just observing, noticing, appreciating that gratitude again that Natasha mentioned, and just looking around, dive in and help and take care of things. that you see that need to be done to kind of relieve some of that that worry work, that mental load. And then number two is get help. Talk to someone. I love their Rise workshops, or whether it is Liz, right? Professional counseling. I think too often it's like, no, if I just keep plugging through. But if there's a point, listeners, when you're like, I'm really struggling with things, reach out, because that's it's not healthy for you, for your children, for your spouse, when you take that nosedive and you really are feeling like, yeah, I need a little bit of extra help, a support, a women's group or whatever that is, to be able to help you manage the difficulties and those dark days that you may be going through. So explore those options, all kinds of things, educational resources that we have and others have. Workshops that I'll put a plug in for the Healthy Relationships Utah. Go to that website, Healthy Relationships Utah. We'll put that in the show notes as well. StrongerMarriage.org with the Utah Marriage Commission. All kinds of great resources out there, places to turn when you need more help in your personal life and in your relationships. So, Natasha, I'll leave you with the last word. Any other parting advice? Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
You know, Dave, one of the things that you asked me is if there's something husbands can do less of. And I might just mention that when your wife comes to you and expresses these very real feelings of inadequacy, it's very natural and loving for you to say something like, oh, honey, you're not a failure. You're a great mom, which is very kind. Like, that's a very kind response. It's a very loving thing to say. But sometimes, unfortunately, this kind of well-intentioned response can feel a little bit invalidating. You know, that response is a straight disagreement to what your partner might be trying to say. Like, when your wife says, I feel like a failure, and you say, you're not a failure, it's the same thing as saying, you know, I feel cold in here. And you respond, well, it's not cold in here. Right? It's like your feelings aren't valid, but your feeling is invalid. When your wife comes to you with these feelings of inadequacy, a more loving way to respond is just by listening and validating. Phrases like, you know, thank you for telling me how you're feeling, or what can I do to help? Or I want you to know that I care. You know, this sounds really hard. Those are both validating and loving. And so that might be a final thought.
I love that. So well said, because it's often, no, you're fine. Or, oh my goodness, no, this was a great, but just to listen, pause and be like, oh wow, I didn't realize you were feeling that. That must be overwhelming. Or let's talk about it. And I'm here to listen. Love that, Natasha, man, you're doing great work. Can keep it up. And that does it for us here, my friends, another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
We'll see you next time, but do remember, in the meantime, it's the small things that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at StrongerMarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.